I feel like the Lord wants us to know, and the title of my message is Extraordinary Love. Extraordinary Love. And we're going to turn in our Bibles to 2 Samuel, and it's the story of King David's, how he started his kingdom. The very beginning of his kingdom began with a tragedy. It began with a tragedy, which was the death of his best friend and his death of his father-in-law, who was trying to kill him, by the way. That's all.
Even though he loved
him. Yes, he loved him. And his kingdom began with a very big tragedy. And so David composed a song, a praise song, called Lament. And when I was at Elam, I had the honor and the joy to teach the book of Psalms. It was one of my classes, one of my favorite classes to teach, because a lot of people don't realize that not every song in the Bible, in the book of Psalms, is a happy song. Some of it is people working through tragedy. And it's like everything started out this year with tragedy. I personally have been working through tragedy, and I almost feel like this message is the first, part of what God is doing to help us work through this. Because saw my best friend, and then I saw to me, one of the kids that grew up here at this church, and that was tough, very tough. And then, so David literally had to begin his whole ministry, his kingdom, with a tragedy. And so how do you work through tragedy? What can we learn about the extraordinary love that Jesus shows us at the cross, and how does that relate to us? So if you start with verse 17 of 2 Samuel chapter 1, after all the reports about what happened to Saul, we're going to start right there. And I'm just going to go through it, and I'm going to teach. So I'm kind of in a teaching mode today, okay? I might start to preach. We'll see. But here's how it goes. Okay, David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and Jonathan, his son, and he said it should be taught to the people of Judah. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher, and he said. So I'm going to stop right there. I'm just going to break it down verse by verse as we go. You ready? So take your notes, whatever you want to do. Listen to this. Those of you watching, I hope this is a blessing to you. David lamented. The very first song he wrote as the new king, he hadn't been set in yet, was a lament. It wasn't a happy situation. And sometimes God will graduate us to a new realm in him, and it may not be from a good thing. It may be because of a negative thing. And we all have to face and sing our lamentation song. And what did David said? He commanded it had to be taught to the sons of Judah. It was so important. This song was so important. He didn't say that about all the Psalms, did he? He commanded that this song be taught because it needed. People need to be equipped how to deal with sorrow. That's the bottom line. And many times it's hard as a pastor because you want to get up on Sunday morning and you want to get up on the media and tell everybody everything's great. But sometimes you need to learn how to cry. How to cry it out. How to sorrow in a godly way. Because Paul talked about something called godly sorrow. So there's a godly sorrow. There is a godly lamentation that God wants to teach us. And as a songwriter, I can't write every song. I got to write some songs that are going to be crying songs. And I've written songs crying. Behold, it is written in the book of the upright or the righteous. So we need to learn that righteousness includes, sadness. Now, Saul and Jonathan were a special pair, and we'll see just how special they were together in Scripture. So let's see that. Let's get on with the next verse. Verse 19. Your glory, O Israel, is slain on your high places. How the mighty have fallen. Your glory, O Israel, is slain in the high places. He did not choose the word that we always know as glory, which means heaviness or weightiness of God's presence. He, you know what he chose for glory here? It was an animal, a gazelle, or a deer. So, like, how many of you heard that song out of the scripture, as the deer pants for the water? David wrote that song, right? As the deer. Deer and gazelles were very much prized by David and by the Israelites because it was good meat that you can get at high places. It represented living in a heavenly place because a deer, you know, the deer and gazelle can handle the mountaintops and their meat is good. You know, that it's very good for some people, right? So that gazelle is the word for glory because there's something that they associated with living in high places. And when you see the word high places, guys, think heaven. Think the heavenly realms. And because they were fighting this battle in heavenly realms, weren't they? We have spiritual warfare, and you guys got to hear me on this. This church is a warfare praise church. When we praise God, the heavens know what's going on. We are not just singing songs. We see destiny change because principalities and powers are bound when we praise God. It says that in Psalm 150 or 149. I used to teach this in my worship leadership class, that you bind the princes with chains of iron when you worship God. Did you know that? And that there's binding. Jesus, it says that when he went on high and resurrected, it says he made a train of captives and that he's far above all principalities and powers and spiritual rulers. So your praise is very powerful and it goes way beyond you just feeling good on Sunday morning. You can make a difference. I believe that we have changed the way this town is. I believe partially, too, because of our praise, we may not see anywhere near the amount of deaths and hospitalizations because of this. We have to believe God that our praise makes the difference.
Amen.
We have to believe God that the number of godly people here and the impact that we make in this environment will bless people. And God will do that if you act that way. You can have an influence way beyond your size. You can have tremendous influence. And this glory that it says John, Jonathan and Saul fought battles on the high places. What God is trying to say is there are warriors. I'm a warrior. Ronnie's, I mean, especially leaders. We do more than just do church on Sunday morning. When we pray, I know that when I pray, I know there are times I am dealing with principalities. I've had visitations of them. I've had them come and try to mess with me, and I've had to kick them out. I'm serious. I'm not making this stuff up. And I know there are times when I feel an attack of the enemy, and I know the God, that the enemy's going after somebody in this church. I physically feel bad. I mean, it just happens. So that's why you have to be faithful to pray for each other. And you need to be faithful to pray for your leaders. Paul, the Apostle Paul, you think, why would the Apostle Paul need people to pray for him? He was a mighty man of God. Look at all the miracles he did. Guess what? Paul asked and begged his people to pray for him. Why? Why? Because he had to deal with principalities and powers that were trying to kill him. Throw him in jail. Bind him up. How do you think Peter got set out of the jail in Acts chapter 4 and 5?
Prayer.
Why was he in jail? Principalities and powers working through the rulers of Israel today. Throw him in jail. How did he get released? That prayer meeting, and what was it? Beatrice that answered the door, and she thought she was seeing an angel. Why? Because she was used to seeing angels. Do you ever think about that? Why did she think she was looking at one? Because she'd seen him before. She shut the door on him. And it was Peter. Right? Because they were praying without ceasing. What did it do? It actually literally opened a prison door in the jail of the city. So your prayers and your petitions, your praise changes the atmosphere. It changes principalities. It binds them. It forces them to let people go, let people get saved. It'll change what happens. I mean, we could pray today. I'm serious. We could pray today, and if we do and pray what God wants us to pray, we could literally change the way the government works in this town and in this state and in this nation. It doesn't need many people. How many of you heard of Prophet Bob Jones? Okay, 2006, what was it? He died in 2014. But before the election that Bush won, the one where, I'm not going to say it, the one where he won in Florida, at that one place. Yes. 2000, whatever it was, God spoke to Bob Jones and said, I want you to go to Florida, and I want you to spend time there, and I want you to proclaim the burning bush. Talk about the burning bush. And he said, God said the burning bush is going to win. And he went around, and God told him specifically to go to the panhandle area of Florida, and that area, and he just went from as many churches as anybody would take him, and he would give this word of the Lord that God gave him. He went to specifically that area. Well, when the election took place, Bush won, and guess which area of Florida tipped Florida, which tipped the entire election? The panhandle of Florida. So God told a prophet to go and declare the word of the Lord in a specific region, and it changed the history of this country. Because he did what God said. He fought on the high place. He was like Saul and David. They went up there in the high places and they took the sword and the bow. Now the bow is the prophetic word of the Lord. That means you can take that bow and shoot an arrow a long way very accurately. That's a prophetic word. A prophetic word is very accurate, very, very directed, and it goes at the right target. Whereas a sword is personal hand-to-hand combat. You need the word of the God like a sword when you're doing personal combat with the enemy for your own life. Or if you come into a specific situation, use your sword. But sometimes God says, take out your arrow, people, and shoot the arrow and take out the enemy halfway down. You know, I'd rather shoot him a long way away anyway. Wouldn't you? I'd rather take that lion out. But sometimes you got to take them out with the bare hands. How the mighty have fallen, the Gibor, the mighty men. And that word mighty man has a supernatural overtone in it.
Kind of like Gideon, right?
Yeah, I'm going to give you a teaching in a sense that what we learn from the scripture in Genesis chapter 6 is that when the sons of God came to the daughters of men, it says that mighty men were birthed out of that. So there's an empowering by the Spirit that produces mighty men, both for the enemy and for God. In Genesis 6, it was the enemy. But God will empower you and make you a mighty man or a mighty woman of God, where you'll take cities for God. Or like a prophet like Bob Jones did, you know. Tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised exult. That is a complete praise scripture right there. If you could just take that one scripture and flip it around, and it could be a song of praise that we would sing. You know, Tell it to everybody. Publish it out. Publish it means literally publish it, broadcast it. Tell it personally, hand to hand, person to person. And the daughters of Judah, let the daughters of Judah rejoice. You know, that this is a so. And here's what I wanted to share with you about this. When you go through times of weeping, when you go through times of having to pray through tears, it is not something to publish or broadcast. Just keep it within Judah. When we go through stuff, don't broadcast it. Don't, you know, it's not meant for the Gentiles to hear. Why? They're going to be happy. They're going to be happy. Don't give them something to be happy about. Just be quiet and put your lament before the Lord. And I feel that there are times when it's just me and God. We just have it out. And are just a trusted person. It's not meant to be published on Facebook or whatever. You know? Don't broadcast the fall of Saul and Jonathan. Saul and Jonathan, they were mighty men. And you know, mighty men of God and women of God that are on the front lines of battle, some of them become casualties. Great men of God, great women of God, whatever the casualty may be. It could be a moral failing. It could be a tragedy of in the family. Don't broadcast it. Don't just publish it. Don't run people down like that and gossip and repeat all the bad reports. That's evil. That's evil. You're playing into the enemy when you do that. Tell it not in Gath. What should we talk about? Paul said in Philippians, he says, if anything is lovely, think on those things. Anything pure, anything holy. Do you know the place that David said, I will bless the Lord at all times? Gath. When he, I call it crazy praise, I preached that message. He did his crazy praise in front of the king of Gath, and they thought he was insane. I will bless the Lord at all times. He sang that song. They thought he was crazy. I'm going to say it again. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and the people in the world thought he was crazy. People think you're crazy when you are blessing the Lord about things that they say. Why are you blessing the Lord? Look at all this horrible stuff going on. Look at all this bad stuff going on. Look, they're fighting here. They're dying here. They're doing this. And you say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I ain't going to talk about that mess. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. And they say, you're crazy. You're not being real. You're not living in reality. I'm living in a greater reality. I'm living in a reality called heaven. It's called the Word of God. And guess what? The Word of God was here long before you were, long before America was, long before anybody was. The Word of God was here. Actually, the Word of God created the heavens and the earth. So guess what? I'm sticking with the Word of God. Praise God. I'm going to preach a little bit. So stop talking mess. Start talking Word. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Don't tell it in Gath. Don't fall for that mess. You mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew or rain upon you, nor fields of offerings, for there the shield of the mighty was defiled, the shield of Saul. There are some places called Gilboa where bad stuff happens. And you want to leave it. You want to leave it alone. And that's exactly what happened. It's a desolate place. That's where he lost the battle. And that's it. You leave it alone. You move on. Don't stay there. Don't hang out in Gilboa. There's nothing there for you. It's a defeat. Cry it out. And I've got a mug that I use right now. I'm just telling you you think I'm nuts, probably. But I have a mug that's got that scripture on there, and I drink my coffee in that mug this year, by golly. And when the year's over, I think I'll use another mug. Okay? But this year, they that sow the tears shall reap in joy. So your tears are seed. It says, going forth with precious seed. Precious seed. Those tears are seeds of the work of God. So don't think your tears are wasted. See, is it okay that I'm working? I feel like God's helping me work through some of this stuff because it ain't been good. You know, And so, and you know, I'm disappointed about the country. I'm disappointed about the way people are acting. I'm disappointed about people that shouldn't have gone, shouldn't have been taken from us. I don't like it. But I'm going to, if I got to sow tears, by golly, they're going to I'm going to reap a harvest. And I'm going to confess that while I sow them. I'm not going to just get doomy and gloomy. Oh, the revelation's coming. I ain't going to do that. No way. No way. He's on the throne, and he knows how to take, he knows how to teach us how to sing that song. Because this David was a mighty warrior. He was, you know, and he, amazing. And then he continues to sing the praise of these guys. He goes on and he says, for the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. He is extolling these guys. Saul tried to kill him. And yet, what's he doing? Is he saying negative? Is his song going, well, you know, he came in and tried to chop my head off? And is he singing that song? Is that the words in his song?
He's actually
lamenting his past. Yeah, and he's extolling the virtues of Saul. Saul was a good guy, by the way. He was the first king. But usually when we pastors preach on Saul, it's always like, Saul bad, David good, right? Come on now. Come on, that's how. But no, what did David say? Okay? Guess what? The devil will talk about your flaws. But guess what God is saying about you? God's David, King David is Jesus. And whatever you might have done as Saul, guess what? He's singing your praises. Why? Why? Because the Son, he loved the Son. He loved the Son. The Father God, because he loves the Son, King David, right? Because he loves the Son, he's going to sing your praises no matter how nasty you are, Mr. Saul. You hear it? You see the principle of imputed righteousness? He loved that man Saul because he was Jonathan's daddy. So David was singing out of that righteous flow of the Holy Spirit. I'm glad God's singing my praises in heaven, aren't you? I mean, aren't you glad he's singing your praises? You got enough people down here singing your, whatever it is. He sings your praises. He loves you. And they're swifter than eagles and stronger than lions. And keep going. Beloved, your daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you luxuriously in scarlet and put ornaments of gold in your apparel. God blesses them. You, even though they might have had flaws, you still were very highly blessed, weren't you? We should always be thankful for the blessings of God. Next, let's move on. How the mighty has fallen in the midst of battle. Jonathan lies slain on your high places. Emphasis on high place means heavenly realms, spiritual victories. We're dealing with spiritual warfare, guys. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant have you been to me. Your love to me was extraordinary. There it is. Extraordinary love. This kind of love is on a heavenly level, guys. When he says a love surpassing love of women, he's saying more than natural. This is a supernatural love. Now, the enemy would try to use this and say it's an unnatural love. But God says, no, it's a supernatural love. David loved Jonathan. Jonathan loved him so much so, it says they were like one soul. And it was not a married kind of love. It had no sexual connotations whatsoever. It was a supernatural connection. And I just declare over this church, and I declare over this people, I declare this, that there are relationships of extraordinary love that go way beyond natural abilities. You're going to find yourself loving people, and you're like, how in the world do I love that person? How can I love that person? There's you know, they're like a Saul, but there's a love there. And it goes way beyond your natural abilities. It goes way beyond the quality of the situation. And it's going to be holy. It's going to be pure. It's going to bring a glory to God. It's going to bring deliverance for people. I believe people have been changed by this church because they encountered a love they could not explain. I'm serious. I've had people talk to me like this. I am not the same anymore. Why? I felt this love here. I've never felt love like this. Now, God has this place here. He has this extraordinary love. It's here. It's here for you. And it's here for you to show it to somebody else. And this is the love that David had, that Jonathan had, that was way greater than human love. It was supernatural love. And sometimes that love is birthed and it's expressed in tragedy. And I believe there is a power of the love of God that will help people make it through tragedy. So your tears are not wasted. Go ahead and sing the lament. Sing it. Sing it to the Lord.